Good afternoon. My name is Susan Muirhead, and today I'll be reading part one of the News Gazette, dated for this date, Tuesday, March 24th, 2026. As always, we begin with today's top stories. The first headline reads, Champaign Police Department, no takeover post link to murder found. Officers were in mall area as a precaution. This article is written by Luke Taylor and is based out of Champaign. You can reach Luke at the email address ltaylor@newsgazette.com. While Champaign patrol officers were occasionally monitoring crowd size at Marketplace Shopping Center on Saturday due to apparent plans for an unofficial party, investigators do not currently believe any event had direct ties to the fatal shooting that took place. Police Lieutenant Aaron Lack said there was also no indication of unusually large crowds at the mall based on officer observations at the scene. We will look into where the social media post originated from, but it's not our highest priority right now since we're investigating the homicide, Lack said. We're not seeing a large correlation between that event and what we're dealing with, but we can't say for sure at this point. Police responded to a fight in the parking lot near Dick's House of Sport at around 6:14 p.m. That's on Saturday, which at least one individual, where at least one individual discharged a firearm, striking a 16-year-old identified by Champaign County Coroner Lori Brower as Jaylen Bailey, J-A-Y-L-E-N, Bailey of Champaign. He was taken by ambulance to a local hospital and pronounced dead at 11:44 p.m. Lack said the response time to the fight itself was rapid because of police already being in the area. A since-deleted Instagram page under the name CU Takeovers, quote-unquote, created a post on March 17th which appears to issue an open invitation to a takeover, quote-unquote, at Marketplace Shopping Center. While the post didn't detail plans for the event, it suggested to spread the word and said, we gettin' the CU bussin' all spring break and summer, quote-unquote. Slide or hear about it, the post said. 12 might get us, but F'em. While the post only had around 200 likes as of Sunday, it was being spread widely in conversations about the shooting. Patrol officers were in the area just out of an abundance of caution, Lack said. It's always very terrible when anybody dies, but there's just a much more significant impact when it's a child or a teenager, Lack said. We're going to continue to work very hard to serve the family in our law enforcement capacity and to try to prevent further incidents. Anti-gun violence advocate Jarrell Young responded similarly, saying the community is grieving alongside the victim's family. He also said the Marketplace incident is part of a national and local pattern. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention names firearm-related injuries as a leading cause of death for youth in the U.S. My hope is that we don't allow this moment to pass as just another headline. This must be a turning point where we move beyond reactive responses and commit to sustained, collaborative, and evidence-based solutions that protect our youth and strengthen our community, Young said. Because at the end of the day, this was not just a statistic, this was a child. And we owe him and every young person in Champaign something better. Young said that his experience as a social worker has him viewing incidents like this from a trauma-informed perspective, which leads him to understand that violence is a reflection of other issues like untreated trauma, economic instability, and poor environments for young people. While he said he understands community calls for accountability, if the only response is punishment, we miss the opportunity for prevention and healing. Young put the focus on street outreach and violence prevention programs, mental health services, after-school and mentorship programs, and community police partnerships to support youth and prevent future incidents. We also have to center the voices of young people themselves. Too often they are talked about, but not talked with. If we want different outcomes, we must invest in their leadership, their healing, and their future, Young said. There is no photo that accompanies this article, and as a quick reminder, this story contains original reporting by News Gazette staff. If you're not a subscriber, please consider becoming one, because local journalism is only possible with your support. A subscription to the News Gazette plays a vital role in making this reporting possible. Thank you for your support and helping us continue to connect our community. The next headline reads, NCAA Tournament, Illini Basketball in March Madness, Watching in Comfort. Campus Inc., mobile merch maker, planning next steps, making it to Indy for Final Four, still goal. This article is written by Jana Wiersema. She can be reached by email at jwiersema@newsgazette.com. This article is based out of Urbana. As March Madness gets underway, Fighting Illini fans have their fingers crossed that the men's team can make it to the Final Four at Lucas Oil Stadium. Campus Inc. co-owner and CEO Stephen Farag also hopes to make it to Indianapolis next month, but he has more on his to-do list than just enjoying the show. The business's NIL store live trailer, which allows Farag's team to print and sell merchandise on the spot at athletic events, made its debut at UConn in February, before heading to Purdue, and after that, the Big Ten Championship in Chicago. The trailer is currently in Urbana, as the Campus Inc. team figures out where they're headed next and looks for opportunities that make the most sense for us and our partner schools, Farag said. We're sort of holding tight to figure out where the spot is going to be, he said Friday afternoon. We do want to end up in Indianapolis or around Indianapolis for the Final Four, but it's a moving target literally day by day to figure out where we're going to be next. I don't actually have that completely solidified right this moment, but we will know a lot more on Monday after the games this weekend. Fans who want to be kept in the loop about the trailer's next stop can follow the NIL store on Instagram. It's been awesome, Farag, F-A-R-A-G, said. It's just cool to interact with fans along the way to actually show them our craft. One of the highlights was meeting the UConn women's basketball team and making merch for guard Ozzie Fudd and her entire family. However, there has also been some fun a little closer to home, Farag said. Campus Inc. hosted an Illini NIL store family day at its Urbana warehouse earlier this month. As part of the event, kids were able to draw their own designs on paper and the business printed their doodles on shirts. It was just really, really special to see all these little Illini fans drawing their favorite athletes and then turning it into merchandise for them right in front of them, he said. Of course, there have also been hiccups too, like a problem with a trailer lock that led to Farag having to Instacart a pair of deadbolt cutters during the Big Ten tournament. He also noted that there are a lot of details that go into making the mobile operation work. This equipment isn't meant to travel, he said. And so we've had to regulate temperature, power, climate control, all that good stuff, and the entire thing runs off a generator. And so it's been a massive experiment. March Madness is a busy time for the NIL store, which is licensed to create apparel for 88 teams that made it onto this year's brackets, 46 on the men's side and 42 on the women's side, Farag said. The NCAA has granted us a special license that gives us the ability to pair NIL with March Madness apparel, which is really, really special, he said. And so fans have the opportunity to buy standard March Madness apparel, and they also have the opportunity to buy March Madness apparel that actually helps the athletes out. In addition to the business's website, local Illini fans also can find some of the NIL store's merchandise in Game Day Spirit stores. Additionally, Farag said that pending how this weekend goes, he hopes to hold some activation events with students next week at The Lab by Campus Inc., located at 502 East John Street in Champaign. And there's some photos that accompany this article. One is of a large group, and they're in a room with TV screens blasting some basketball games. The caption reads, "Patrons of the Esquire Lounge." Okay, this is a little bit separate, but still related to March Madness. "Patrons of the Esquire Lounge in downtown Champaign watch as the seventh-seeded Illini women challenge second-seeded Vanderbilt during their second-round NCAA tournament game Monday night at Memorial Gymnasium in Nashville, Tennessee. The Commodores ended Illinois' season with a 75-57 victory." And that photo is taken by Robin Scholes of the News Gazette. The women still had a great season, so congratulations to them. And more article related, there's a photo of a young woman, and she is standing over a table with a jersey, 35, with a number 35 on it. The caption reads, "UConn guard Azee Fudd customizes a jean jacket." So it wasn't a jersey, but jean jacket, with her number during the NIL Store Live's trip to Mansfield, Connecticut in February. That photo is provided. And there's two others. One of, it's a man leaning over a table and he's typing onto a laptop while there are kids and families waiting in a line around him. And then you see kind of what he's working on at the table. The caption reads, "Campus Inc. CEO. Stephen, S-T-E-V-E-N, Farag, F-A-R-A-G, works to print children's designs onto t-shirts at a recent Illini NIL Store Family Day event." And as a quick follow-up to that, at newsgazette.com, mic check. Lead CB's play-by-play broadcaster, Ian Eagle, joined News Gazette Radio on Monday afternoon to discuss the Illini men's basketball team's run to the Sweet 16 and simply the best Parkland men's basketball caps storybook season by winning the NJCAA Division in Division 2 National Championship in Danville. Congratulations to them. The next headline reads, "Champaign City Council graduate by Hilton aiming for early 2028. Developer stands to collect bonuses if it can meet deadlines." This article is written by Jana Wiersema, who can be reached by email at jwiersema@newsgazette.com. This article is based out of Champaign. A new collegiate-themed hotel is targeted to open with time to spare ahead of the University of Illinois' 2020 commencement. Developer Doug Altenberger, yes, the former U of I basketball player, expects to break ground on the Graduate by Hilton in midsummer and estimates that the project will take 18 to 24 months. "We're hoping to have it open early 2028 before graduation," he said. Altenberger has a good incentive to make that happen. Under a proposed development agreement with the city, 401 North Neal Street LLC, managed by Altenberger and Toby Block, would receive an up to $500,000 bonus if the project meets certain deadlines, Champaign Economic Development Manager T.J. Blakeman wrote in a report to the City Council. This is in addition to up to $6.5 million in other proposed incentives. Four milestones are proposed, with $125,000 awarded for each one met. Here are the four milestones. Submission of a building permit application by November 23rd, 2026. Then, beginning of foundation construction by December 30th, 2026. So, very end of this year. Third, topping off of the structure by June 1st, 2027. And lastly, occupancy by a year from now, two years from now, by March 30th, 2028. These dates are each about 4 months later than previous estimates included in a December 2025 report from Blakeman. Altenberger said at the time that the goal was to break ground in late spring and open by August or September 2027. "The process was a little slower than we thought, getting all the details and getting everybody to review the agreement, all that," he said Monday afternoon. The seven-story hotel at the northwest corner of Hill and Neal Streets will have 144 rooms, along with amenities such as a restaurant, coffee shop, fitness facility, meeting space, and valet parking, according to a previous interview with Altenburger. There are over 30 graduate by Hilton locations across the United States and the United Kingdom, so the UK. Blakeman noted that these include 13 locations in Big Ten communities. According to Hilton, each hotel is thoughtfully designed to reflect the unique character of its local university. "We can do some really interesting things with the graduates," said Altenburger, a former Illini basketball guard who played from 1983 to 87. "They give you pretty much a blank sheet in some regards. So we're working our way through that creative process right now." In addition to potential sports-themed components, other possibilities could include highlighting REO Speedwagon's local roots and honoring Nobel Prize winners from the U of I, he said. The project cost is estimated at $38 million, Blakeman wrote. In addition to the milestone bonuses, the city is proposing to provide up to $6.5 million from a portion of the hotel tax and tax increment financing, or TIF funds, generated by the project. Once completed, this project will generate an estimated total of $1,400,000 annually for the city through TIF, hotel tax, food and beverage tax, sales tax, and parking leases, Blakeman said. Of that, an estimated $902,000 would be shared with the developer annually over the 8-year term of the agreement, up to $6,500,000, with an additional $500,000 if certain milestones are achieved. Overall, the city's projected revenue is over 10 years is estimated at $7,400,000. According to Blakeman, the hotel is expected to create 60 new jobs, with almost all of these positions being full-time except for 4 part-time roles. He noted that the coordination between the developer and the city will be important, as construction of the hotel is expected to coincide with that of Phase 2 for the nearby Neal Street Plaza. The City Council is expected to vote on the proposed development agreement at tonight's meeting. The agenda also includes votes on 4 other things. First, designating Walnut Street between Eureka and North Streets as honorary Benita Rollins Gay Way. The former longtime mobile crisis coordinator at Rosecrans Behavioral Health also served on the Urbana School Board and volunteered at Champagne's Daily Bread Soup Kitchen. Designating Hickory Street between Vine and North Streets as honorary Diane Nesbitt Way after the longtime social worker and photographer who died on May 1st, 2025. A special use permit to allow a new duplex to be built at 410 West Healy Street. And lastly, up to $54,000 contract with architecture firm Reefsteck Wakefield Fanning & Company to design a remodel of the second floor offices at 201 West University Avenue. The project will include space for the city's planning and development department, including the building safety division, per a report from Champaign civil engineer Marcello Grady. And there's one photograph that accompanies this article, and it's of a large hotel building. The caption reads, "Renderings of the proposed Graduate by Hilton Hotel in downtown Champaign include its proximity to the new Neal Street Plaza." That image is provided. Next up, top of the morning, something to get you going today, courtesy of Vice President Jim Rosso. For Thursday night's Illini game in the Sweet 16, they'll take their spot on the couch in the same order as they settle into their seats at State Farm Center. Vicky Trask first, followed by her sister, Judy Steffen, and her cousin, Becky Liebach of Danville. They'll be wearing their lucky outfits, orange shirts, navy pants, orange and blue Nikes, and snacking on their lucky orange and blue M&Ms. The party will be at Steffen, S-T-E-F-F-E-N, apostrophe S, at Steffen's house in Oakwood, because that's where it was for Saturday's win against VCU, and we don't want to break the good luck charm, Trask said. We usually rotate houses, but not now. March brings out all the superstitions among basketball fans. There are none bigger or more superstitious than Trask, 75, Stefan, 77, and LeBach, 81, longtime season ticket holders who enjoy watching games on TV together. About those M&Ms, for a birthday present, Oakwood's Trask was given 2 pounds of each color to nibble on during games. The supply should last a season, but it'll be close if the Illini reach the Final Four and Indianapolis. That's a good problem to have, she said. We're a little crazy, said Trask, who traces the enthusiasm of her and her friends to their days as cheerleaders at Potomac High in Vermilion County. I feel good about our chances. Florida got upset. Why can't we upset Houston? Let us know your game day rituals at newsgazette.com, where you'll find the story of Rich Schroeder's lucky orange and blue socks. Questions, comments, suggestions, you can always email Jim Rosso at his email address, JROSSOW@newsgazette.com. And there's a photo provided of the three women sitting in the stands in their Illini garb and smiling for the camera. From left, Vicky Trask, Judy Stefan, and Becky Leibach. Now, history. Oh, I should say, go Illini for Thursday. We'll see how they do. Now, history. Area history. In 1926, the Urbana Park Board approved $100,000 in bonds last night, $30,000 of which, about $545,000 in 2026 dollars, is earmarked for a swimming pool at Crystal Lake Park. That was in 1926. The board favors a plan featuring an 80 by 120-foot above-ground pool housed in a structure that includes dressing rooms, showers, and toilets. It is similar to the facility built last year 60 miles away in Paris, which turned an operating profit of $1,800 a month. In 1976, former University of Illinois student David Fry will waive charges of forgery in a preliminary hearing for allegedly counterfeiting university student ID cards. Fry, who enrolled as a freshman in engineering last semester but did not enroll this semester, was arrested and charged on 4 counts of forgery after university police and investigators searched his apartment in Champaign, where counterfeiting equipment and 2 or 3 counterfeited IDs were found. In 2011, University of Illinois trustees unanimously voted for a 6.9% tuition increase, equal to 2.7% over each of 4 years, despite a student trustees noting that the school could be outpricing its own students. The U of I figure was targeted to the inflationary rate of the Higher Education Price Index, but Urbana campus student trustee Dan Soso said students still felt pain. In international history, today's highlight. On March 24th, 1989, the supertanker Exxon Valdez ran aground on a reef in Alaska's Prince William Sound and began leaking an estimated 11 million gallons of crude oil. Also on this date, in 1882, German scientist Robert Koch announced in Berlin that he discovered the bacillus responsible for tuberculosis. The next headline reads, Champaign County Sheriff's Office, man charged with sexual assault of a 7-year-old. This article is written by Luke Taylor and is based out of Urbana. You can reach Luke by email at LTAYLOR@newsgazette.com. A 75-year-old Urbana man has been charged with sexually assaulting a child under the age of 13. Edward Bridges was arrested by the Champaign County Sheriff's Office at 1:30 a.m. Sunday in connection with an ongoing investigation involving the sexual assault of a minor. Sheriff Dustin Huerman said the investigation began after the victim's family reported that a cell phone belonging to Bridges had been found by the victim's sibling. The phone contained multiple images and videos depicting abuse of the victim, who was a 7-year-old girl, indicating the abuse occurred over a period of several years. Sheriff's deputies interviewed the victim's parents before making contact with and interviewing Bridges. He provided a full confession and consented to a forensic examination of his phone, Huerman said. A preliminary review of the phone corroborated the allegations. Bridges appeared in arraignment court on Monday afternoon. The next headline reads, Village of Arthur. On hold, the police department's plans to purchase new radios. Village President Rod Randall said Arthur Police Chief Elliot Tinnen found a different company with a radio that can communicate with both Douglas and Moultrie counties since they have different systems and our main street divides Arthur into both counties. The department will test the new radios before a purchase decision is made, Randall said. Champaign County Election 2026. County Clerk Aaron Ammons hasn't officially called the race, but facing a deficit of 10,846 to 7,215 at last count, Sanford Hess has conceded to his Democratic primary opponent for Champaign County Executive, Michelle Jett. In a video message, Hess said he wished Jett luck in running the county government because I do think that she has the skills to do the job, and that's something I want to emphasize again. My campaign was never about being against Michelle Jett or her ability to do the job. My campaign was always about being for Sanford and proposing that I thought I could do a good job. In her own Facebook post, Jett thanked the endorsers, helpers, and voters who backed her campaign, adding, "The many conversations that I had with voters were invaluable. Hearing directly from you, your concerns, and ideas is why we have elected positions." The next headline reads, a Parkland College update. Parkland College is home to the 2026 recipient of the Joan Simon Lifetime Achievement Award from the Illinois Community College Training Resource and Information Network. That honor was bestowed upon Tris Henderson, whose three-decade run at Parkland included jobs as a college cashier, business and program manager, and director of business training before she was elevated to her current role, director of community education, in July of 2016. While I don't always feel worthy of a Lifetime Achievement Award, I do know that I've devoted my professional life to helping people grow and succeed, Henderson said. Whether it's supporting employers as they grow and develop their workforce, improving processes and systems, helping my team members grow and succeed professionally, or helping individuals gain the skills they need to move forward in their careers. That work has always been deeply meaningful to me. To have that work recognized in this way is a tremendous honor. And lastly, and quickly before we wrap up, let's look at the weather forecast over the next few days. Today, the high will be 56 degrees, mostly sunny, southeast winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Wednesday, tomorrow, a huge jump, 70. The high is 70, the low is 41, partly sunny, south winds 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts up to 25 miles per hour, a bit windy. Thursday, warmer still. The high will be 83, the low is 56, mostly sunny, a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. Friday, then, we go from 83 back down to 47. The high will be 47, the low is 35, mostly cloudy in the morning, then becoming partly sunny. And by Saturday, slightly warmer, the high will be 53, the low is 27 and sunny. So some roller coaster weather over the next few days, but still not extremely cold. I'm Susan Muirhead, and this has been part one of the News Gazette, dated for this date, Tuesday, March 24th, 2026. It's always a pleasure to read with you. I'll be back to read part two with you shortly, so please stay with me. Thanks for listening, and have a wonderful day.